I don't know about you, but whenever I pick up the Bible, I can't but think about the cost it was to bring us God's word in English today, the human sacrifice that was made. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed for your word, the living word. And we ask that this morning our hearts may be open to receive it and our lives to actually act upon it. And we do pray for Janet, as later she will be unfolding your word to us today. We pray that you will help her and guide her in her ministry to us this morning. And so, Lord, take this, your word, make it fresh to us today as we read it this morning before you. Amen. It's only a couple of verses, the very last few verses of Dr. Luke, wasn't he? He was a doctor who wrote this part of the gospel before he wrote the Acts. The ascension of Jesus. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethlehem, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. May the Lord bless his word to us today.
Brian, thank you very much, and thanks for praying for me. So, Ascension Day, the Ascension of Jesus. It's quite hard. You don't see that many pictures or sculptures of the Ascension. Now, I'm going to describe two places that I have been to where I have seen something a bit like that. And the first place is the exotic place. That was 9 years ago. I visited my brother who was working in Rio de Janeiro. And my brother was vicar of, in fact, the church was called Christ Church, in the old part of Rio de Janeiro. And from his garden, you could look up and you could see the statue of Christ the Redeemer. Has anyone here been to Rio and seen that statue? It is absolutely stunning. I'm sure you've probably seen pictures, an Art Deco sculpture. When the World Cup or the football's on, the Brazilians sort of shine green and yellow lights on top of it to make it look as if Christ is wearing a football strip from Brazil. Anyway, when I was there, the clouds came in from the sea, and the clouds came in and they covered the mountain called Corcovado Mountain, and just above the clouds you could see Christ, and it looked literally as if he was rising up through the clouds and he was floating on those clouds there. The other place I've seen a sculpture of the Ascension was in Norfolk at Walsingham. Again, I don't know if anyone's been to what's called the Shrine of Our Lady of Walsingham in Norfolk there. And the Chapel of the Ascension there has got, in the roof of the chapel, they've got a cloud, and they've got 2 feet sticking down from the ceiling. It's really odd. And it's a way of conveying this idea of he was rising up, he was raised up, he ascended, and all you can just see are literally these feet and these toes surrounded by a bit of cloud in the ceiling of the Chapel of the Ascension there. Look it up. If you ever get the chance to go to Walsingham, it's sort of in Norfolk, do. So the Ascension, when Jesus ascended into heaven on a cloud. It's actually a critical moment. It's the close of one chapter. It marks the end of his earthly ministry whilst he was on earth, present in his body. And then it marks the beginning of when he's gone to heaven, when he's no longer here physically, but he's here through his Holy Spirit. So 3 questions to consider today. Why do you wait 40 days between Easter and Ascension? Why did the disciples worship Jesus, and why is the ascension important? So first of all, 40 days. So we had Easter Day on April the 1st. Tomorrow is officially Ascension Day, 40 days. Well, you know 40 is quite a popular number in the Bible. You know, Jesus was in the wilderness. He was tempted for 40 days. When the Hebrews were wandering through the desert, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. When the flood came, the rain fell for 40 days. When Joshua and the spies looked around Canaan, they spent 40 days there. And then I discovered that King Saul, King David, and King Solomon had each ruled for 40 years. Number 40 symbolizes a time of testing or trial or probation. So what happened in the 40 days between Easter, Jesus rose from the dead, came out the tomb, Ascension, he rose up and ascended into heaven. It was a time to confirm the reality of his resurrection. The previous talks, each previous Wednesday, somebody has preached on those different appearances, the different times Jesus appeared. He appeared to Mary outside the tomb. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to Thomas. You remember Thomas who doubted? He appeared on a beach. They found him eating fish. He appeared to Peter. He had a real body, a body that could eat fish, a body that people recognized, a body seen by many people, and yet a resurrected body that sometimes appeared and then vanished. And we're reminded that Jesus said, you to the disciples are witnesses of these things. And so that 40-day period was a time for lots and lots of people to see him. The 40 days he also used to interpret the Old Testament. It was a time to open their minds, to explain the scriptures. He showed them how the Old Testament scriptures showed and foresaw what happened on the cross, how he rose again. You remember when Chris Brown, I think, talked about the clear passes on the road to Emmaus, how Jesus explained the scriptures to them. But that 40 days was also a time for Jesus to commission the disciples, take the gospel to all nations. Take the gospel to all nations. And as Paul last week talked about the vision, about going out, having a heart for the city, a heart for the nation. Jesus says about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He says, will be preached to all nations, but beginning at Jerusalem. So why wait 40 days? It was a time to confirm to as many people as possible he had risen. It was a time to be seen. It was a time to explain things and teach those Old Testament prophecies. And it was a time to prepare the disciples for mission, for going out. So the next question I had is, why did they worship him? In that very short passage Brian read, you may not have noticed it in verse 51. While Jesus was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him, Jesus, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Jesus left in a very public way. He didn't just vanish. There were people there watching as he was lifted up. He's now in heaven at the side of God. But he literally rises up into the clouds in front of the disciples. And we're told their reaction was to worship him. Now to the Jews, only God could be worshipped. The commandments make it very clear that only God is to be worshipped. You're not to have idols. But in this case, this is the very first time Luke, the gospel writer, talks about Jesus being worshipped. Jesus is worthy to be worshipped. What does it mean? It means Jesus is God. Jesus is both human but also divine. He too is to be worshipped. And as he allows that worship, it's a sign that he is truly God. And what do the disciples do after he ascends? They go back to the temple and they're still praising God. They had another 10 days to wait until Pentecost when the Holy Spirit would come. So why did they worship Jesus? Because he is divine. He is the Son of God. He is worthy. So finally, and I've spent a long time this week trying to think, well, why is the ascension important? And I come to the conclusion, it's important because it gives us hope. It gives us hope. Hope. Jesus has gone ahead of us and he's preparing a room for us in heaven. Hope. He has opened up that way to God. Hope. He's right there by God's side right now, mediating for us, interceding for us, praying for us. Hope that because he's now in heaven, by his Spirit, he can be with us here on earth, outside the constraints of time and space. Hope that one day he will return. And we're told in Acts 1, he will return in the same way as you see him go. In the Apostles' Creed, across the ages, Christians have always said, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from when he will return to judge the living and the dead. Jesus went up, ascended, he's back in heaven, but one day he will come back as our conquering king. So let's just think a little bit more about hope this morning. So the first hope is the hope that he has gone ahead of us. He has gone ahead of us to heaven. In John 14, when Jesus talks to his disciples, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And this is the hope Christians have, that hope of the resurrection of the dead, of that eternal life in heaven. Christ went first, and he is preparing a room for us in heaven. That's quite a nice thought, isn't it? When you prepare a room for a visitor to come, that Christ is in heaven, if you like, already preparing a room for you and for me. Secondly, the hope, that access he has brought for mercy and for grace. In Hebrews, Jesus, in him we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. It's the language of the ascension. He's passed through the heavens. He's now seated at the Father's right hand. He is, if you like, the priest, the high priest, but also the king, the one who allows access to God. There's also hope that he's praying for us. Did you know he's praying for us up in heaven right now? He is interceding for us. In Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. I find that really encouraging, that not just that he's there preparing a room for me, he's not just there opening up the way to God, but the fact he's praying for us. He can sympathize. And because he's both human and divine, he knows what it is like to be human. Christ is interceding for us. The next hope I have is the hope that while he is in heaven, he didn't leave us alone, but sent us his Holy Spirit. He is present, but by his Spirit now. Very truly, it says in John 16, I tell you, it is for your good I'm going away. I don't like it when people say that to me. It's for your good I'm going away. But he goes on and says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When Christ was on earth, he was bound by having a body, by having just two arms and two legs. He could only be in one place at one time. He was bound by time and space. But by ascending to heaven, it meant he could send his Holy Spirit to come down at Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit can be all over the place, all the time, outside time and space. We can be with him here. We can be with him when we're in Malaysia. We can be with him in the past, in the future, outside time and space. Christ is present, but now by his Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus is here right now. And the last hope I have is that he's going to come again for his return. In the Acts, Luke's sort of part two, in Acts, the angels say to the disciples, this same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. He went very publicly. He was on the Mount of Olives. The clouds came up and hid him from their sight. So I don't know what it's going to look like. But if you take it literally, he is going to come back in the same way. He is going to come back. He will return to establish his kingdom in full, to defeat his enemies once and for all. So when Jesus descends in the same way that he ascended, the bad times, the evil, will be over. The darkness will lift. Everything that is wrong will be put right. Jesus rose visibly. Everyone observed him going up. The cloud hid him, and they said, but one day he will come back in the same way you have watched him go. So currently, Jesus is in heaven, and we've got that picture of him at the right hand of God, preparing those rooms for us. In a position of honor and authority, the head of the church, the giver of gifts, the one who sends his Holy Spirit. So why is the ascension important? Because it gives us hope. It gives me hope that Jesus has gone ahead and is preparing a room for me, for us, in heaven. If you've ever heard me preach at a funeral where the person who died was a Christian, I will always preach that hope of eternal life to those who believe. There is a room in heaven, and he has gone there first. Hope that Jesus is now next to God, by God's side, offering that access to God, that mercy and grace. Hope he is there interceding for us, praying for us. Hope that he can now be with us by his Spirit without those constraints of time and space. Hope that he will return in the same way as he went. Hope he has opened up that way to God. He is a mediator for us. And hope he is in charge of the church, working, directing things. And hope in that glorious future when he will return as judge and king. So, a 40-day wait between Easter and Ascension, a time of preparation, then that final goodbye. And what did the disciples do? They worshipped him because he was divine. It gives us hope, that hope of eternal life, that reminder he's gone ahead of us. So I want us to finish now by thinking, which aspect of ascension gives you hope? Do you need reminding of that hope that he will come again and sort out the mess in this world? That hope there is a future for us. That hope that he will come again, that hope of access to God, that he can be everywhere. So let's be quiet now and let God's Spirit bring to mind what are the things in our lives that we need reminding of? What is the particular thing that we need hope for? Let's just be quiet and ask him to give us that hope that he is risen and he is ascended. Fill us, Lord Jesus, with hope. We thank you that your ascension has given us hope, hope in a future, hope that you will come again, hope of heaven, of eternal life, hope that you are there pleading for us, interceding for us. Thank you for the hope. Fill our hearts with us. With that hope, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.